Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today to celebrate women veterans here in Pennsylvania. I'm Mariah Hathaway, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Governor's Advisory Commission on Women, and it's my honor to be hosting this event with the Governor and the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Every year, the Commission on Women recognizes outstanding women who've served in every branch of the military. It is a true honor to award these selfless women for their bravery and dedication to our country and Commonwealth. Women veterans face a unique set of challenges and deserve their own day. All 17 of the women are incredible advocates and continue to give back to their communities and our Commonwealth. Before we begin today's program, I'd like to introduce today's color guard. And if you're able, please stand as they bring the colors forward. Today's color guard is made up of members of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections and hails from the SCI's Somerset, Mercer, and Houtsdale. The color guard is completely comprised of members who have proudly served in the United States Armed Forces and are members of the Pennsylvania Department Corrections Honor Guard. I'd like to invite Brigadier General Laura McHugh, who will be reciting the pledge, and you are able to join as you please.
Thank you. Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we'll be joined by Sergeant Samantha Cox, who is a United States Army veteran. She'll be performing the national anthem, and you're all welcome to join along with that as well.
Detail, present, armed.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave on the hand of the free and the home of the
Please post the colors.
Right, face, forward, march.
You may be seated. And now I have the pleasure of introducing Brigadier General Maureen Weigel, Deputy Adjutant General for Veterans Affairs at the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is such an exciting day, and this is, I think, the biggest crowd we've had for this event. You know, the last few years we've celebrated these wonderful female veterans during Women's History Month in March. This year is the first year we are celebrating it in June, the week of June 12th, Women's Veterans Day. Pennsylvania is only one of about 25 states that recognizes June 12th as Women's Veterans Day. It's in honor of 1948 passing of the Women's Armed Service Integration Act by President Truman after World War II, affording women, other than nurses, besides and including nurses, to enlist into the armed services. After World War I, many women were told, "Thank you for your service, please go home." This afforded the women that opportunity. Some people might say, "We have Veterans Day," but I will tell you, all the women in here and these fabulous women be standing behind me on stage that you're gonna hear about, unapologetically take Women's Veterans Day as your day. We have earned it, you have earned it, your service was mattered, and it was relevant. The United States women have served for over 200 years since the birth of this nation. Many women, as you know, served with their spouses in the Civil War. They walked miles and miles with their spouses, they mended their uniforms, they cooked for them, and they nursed them back to health. Many women disguised themselves as men so they can serve with their spouses. The Civil War was no different. Over 3,000 women served as nurses, and 1,000 women served on each side by their husband's side. Women have earned their right for this day. World War I marked a big change. They actually recognized the need for nurses, so they had over 3,000 women serving in the Women's Army Corps, the Nurse Corps. Other women have served as well. And if you think about it, for the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and World War I, those women bravely served by their husband's side, and they didn't even have the right to vote. World War II, more women served. About 350,000 women served in World War II, not just nurses. There were many women serving in the United States. As you know, we had Rosie the Riveters, and military bases needed women. Our six nursing homes are fabulous, and we actually have a woman who celebrated her 100th birthday. She was a Marine. She drove trucks at Camp Lejeune, and she told me the men would be shocked to see a woman on the truck, and she said, "Get in, I know where I'm going." She still talks like that. We also have a World War II Air Force veteran at our Hollidaysburg nursing home, and she came back from war, and then she played baseball for the Georgia Peaches, League of Their Own. Spectacular woman setting the stage for all of us that are behind you on this stage. And then in 1948, President Truman and then George C. Marshall, the Chief of Staff of the Army, recognized, hey, these women served a really important role in our military. We can't afford to let them all go home. So that's why it is important that June 12th is recognized for the integration of women into the services. World War II created opportunities for women by having the Women's Army Corps, the WAVES for the Navy, and the Marine Corps. I would normally say go Army, beat Navy, but the Navy were the first to have women enlist in World War I and then in World War II, and the Navy actually gave us the first vice chief of any service, and now we have the first chief of Navy operations, the first service to do that, besides Coast Guard, but she gives us a seat at the table with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. After the passing, Korean War hit. And when the Korean War came, even more women served. What was really special about the Korean War was this was the first time women actually went into theater and served in MASH units, just like the TV show. Then in Vietnam, even more women served. Hundreds of thousands of women served, and 11,000 served boots on ground in Vietnam. Service was not always easy, but they paved the way. After Vietnam was over in 1973, the military made more drastic changes. First being they allowed pregnant women to stay in the service. That was a change. If you were pregnant, they were told your service was no longer needed and you needed to leave. They also opened up the services. They disbanded the Army's, the Women's Army Corps and the Women's WAVES and the other auxiliary units, and we all are now part of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, and Space Force that we know today, thanks to those changes. As you know, the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, even more women came and set more firsts. first women to go to the academies, first women to go to ROTC, first female four-star generals. I mean, we've had so many wonderful firsts. And what you can take from all of that history was that every time anything was afforded, the opportunity to women, they seized them. Can you cook for free? Sure. Can you walk behind your husband and fix them if they're injured? Yes, we'll do that. Can you go to war and just get half the pay the men have? We'll do that. But today, since 2013, when then Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta wholly lifted the ban on women in combat, everything opened up to women. And I'm not that kind of woman, but they are now infantrymen and armor and Rangers and Navy SEALs. Every opportunity, they have seized them. We now have four female four-star generals and admirals, like I mentioned. That is unprecedented. Sitting beside me, is Brigadier General Laura McHugh, 38-year war veteran, and she and I can probably share stories of how much the military has changed over her 38-year career. I will tell you what those women did for us in the past, and the women sitting behind me on stage, is made service equal. It's not easy. It is not easy for any of the men and women of this armed services to go to war and leave their families. It's not easy for any of us to do the training that we're asked to do, but all of them do it. They do it with grace and they do it with pride because that's what we're going to do and that's what the military teaches us and those are our military values. But the women behind me can also tell you that it wasn't always fun. There were women that were harassed. There were women that were minimized. There were women that were demeaned and sexually assaulted. Not everybody had the great experiences, but we all have really fond memories and we're really proud of that service. Today, I've met a bunch of cadets at Lehigh University and other universities, and they amaze me. They look at each other as equals and they look at each other as peers. They don't see gender, which is exactly what we've wanted all this time, and they have it. And it was really cute. Two of the male cadets came up to me and saw some of their female cadets by their senior leaders, and they said, "Ma'am, one of those cadets is going to be the first Secretary of Defense." And I loved their enthusiasm, but I had to burst their bubble. And I was like, oh God, I hope not. I'm not waiting 30 years for that opportunity to come. This week was really fun. I learned a few cool things about all the women that were being recognized. You know, we talk about what women have done. And if you think of the Marine Corps, how small it is, one of the women told me that, you know, the Marines like to say the few, the proud. Female Marines like to say the fewer, the prouder. So I was really proud about learning some of those little tidbits. I mean what I say. I want everyone to be unapologetic for having Women's Veterans Day. It is long overdue. It's 76 years since that passing of that act that afforded us this opportunity. What I would tell the next generation of women is to listen to the stories of these women on stage. Learn your history. Make sure you understand the hardships we had to come to accomplish where we are today. And be vigilant. Things that can be given can also be taken away. So make sure we're sharing the stories and we're staying complacent. We don't get complacent. I will tell you the bios that you have in your records and your programs are amazing. These women have paved the way for me to stand where I am and for all of you to enjoy our freedoms. The one thing I will tell you is your grandchildren and your children have not been drafted since Vietnam. And that's because women make up almost 20% of the armed services right now. Only 1% of the population wears the uniform, and women are filling the roles that other Americans won't or cannot do. So I'm really proud of the women on stage behind me. I thank them for their service, and I'll leave you with a quote from Maya Angelou, who mentioned that it is our duty to recognize these heroes and sheroes, as she likes to call them. So on behalf of General Schindler, who can't be with you today, I want to say thank you to all of you for joining us celebrating these women. I want to thank these sheroes for their service, and God bless all of you. Thank you.
Hello again. Thank you so much, General Weigel, for those wonderful remarks. And now I have the pleasure to ask Brigadier General Laura McHugh to share a few words with us as well.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon. It's great to see you all here today. I'm officially what you call a time filler, all right? So unfortunately, I don't have any remarks, and I would love to tell you a joke, but I am not a comedian, so I'm not even going to embarrass myself. But what I do want to say is thank you for you all being here today. These ladies behind me are amazing, and I had an opportunity to review their bios, and they've done some really inspiring things and never looked for glory, never looked for awards. They just wanted to serve their country. So for that, ladies, thank you so much. Yes. But I also know that it takes more than a soldier to be able to serve our great nation. It takes a village, right? It takes friends, it takes families, it takes spouses, it takes a lot of people, employers, if we have a reservist. So I really want to sincerely say thank you to you all. I remember when I was deployed back in 2003, and somebody said to me, well, who's going to watch your kids? I had two kids at the time, and I said, their father, right? But he's been an amazing support network, and just by you all being here today, I think, is what probably enabled these women to be so amazing. So thank you for your support. While I'm trying to fill time, I'll tell you a little bit about the National Guard. The National Guard, and I would assume everybody in here is from Pennsylvania, yes? So I share a little bit of the National Guard with you because you all are taxpayers. You all, in part, pay for us. So thank you for paying your tax dollars. It is definitely going to good use. The National Guard currently, the PA National Guard, second largest Army Guard, third largest National Guard in the country. And I share that with you not to boast about the size of the Guard, but to assure you that as taxpayers and residents of this great Commonwealth, there is nothing that can happen in this Commonwealth that we can't respond to. So hopefully that gives you some level of comfort. Right now we've got about 1,200 soldiers that are currently deployed. They're deployed to areas all around the world. We've got about 1,100 soldiers in the continent of Africa in different locations. We have some soldiers on the southwest border. We also have some soldiers in Cuba. And then when you talk about the Air Guard, they deploy much differently than the Army. And they're literally all over the world in much smaller groups. We have about another 700 folks coming up here within the next 6 months to deploy to areas around the world. And so I ask you to keep their family in your thoughts and prayers as they move forward. If any of you are an employer, I know the Department of Corrections is here. So really appreciate the support that we get from our employers. Couldn't do it without your support, so thank you so much. Am I still talking? I'm going to turn it back to Maureen real quick. She's got something she's dying to share with you. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura, General McHugh. I did want to say, you know, the Department of Military Veteran Affairs, we have a lot of care for veterans across the Commonwealth. We have 6 long-term care nursing homes. Did anyone know that? Our nursing homes are for veterans and spouses. So we have 6. We have 2 outside of Philadelphia, 1 in Scranton, Pennsylvania, 1 in Hollidaysburg, 1 in Erie, and 1 in Pittsburgh. Those are fabulous 5-star rated homes. There's about 1,100 residents living in those homes. I mentioned 2 World War II veterans. We have 30 World War II veterans residing in our 6 homes. It's really important for you to know that because there are veterans around the Commonwealth that are in private nursing homes paying $8,000 to $10,000 a month. Skilled nursing is expensive. If they have a service-connected disability rating, veterans can be in our nursing homes and the VA will cover that. The reason I'm bringing this up is there are veterans that are in this audience and women standing behind me or sitting behind me that have not applied for benefits. Many women do not feel they earned their benefits. They were told after service their service wasn't relevant. You didn't do wartime service. You don't qualify for the VA. That's all changed. Everything is open. If you served, you can get VA health care. If you want to do a claim to look at your service-connected disability rating, since the passing of legislation called the PAC Act, people who served in Vietnam and were exposed to Agent Orange, even if you were in other Asian Pacific islands, you might now be qualified and have benefits available to you. So I would encourage everybody to share that information with veterans. There are 66,000 female veterans across the Commonwealth. We have a handful in our homes, but there's a lot of women that we need to reach out to and continue to reach out to. A lot of times people don't know how to help veterans. They'll ask me what the biggest issue is, and it's awareness. None of you raised your hands that you knew about our veteran homes. So it's knowing that in every county there's a veteran coordinator, a state director of county for veteran affairs that can assist you. We're one state that actually has 67 counties, and we have 67 veteran coordinators. Not many states have that. We also have a Governor's Advisory Council for Veterans where we work very closely with sister agencies. We work with Corrections, Department of Aging, Department of Health, Human Services to look at areas that veterans might need help with. So we look at behavioral health and mental health, veteran struggle. We look at homelessness. Veterans have a higher percentage of homeless rates. And we also look at women's health issues. Women have a higher percentage rate, sadly, of suicide and being homeless. We have some wonderful partners like Veterans Multi-Service Center in the room that I see. We work really closely with all of our nonprofits and our partners to take care of veterans across the Commonwealth. We also have a committee for judicial and corrections. We have 5 veteran service units where you have to be a veteran at those 5 state correction institutes. Fabulous program, really helps with recidivism. And we have a lot of folks from corrections, including that amazing all-female color guard. Great job, ladies. And it's really great programs. We have 26 veteran courts that support veterans in 26 counties. They cover 38 counties. They're always looking for mentors. Those programs are really key. They're veteran treatment courts, helping folks that are struggling with drug and alcohol addictions so that they can start thriving. And then, of course, we have a committee for employment. 200,000 service members leave active duty every year. Why are they not coming to Pennsylvania? How do we entice them to come to Pennsylvania? There's many programs to help employers hire veterans and bring veterans back here. One is Department of Defense SkillBridge. Veterans can come back to Pennsylvania service members while still on active duty. UPMC brought 100 people back. They work for UPMC for 90 days while Department of Defense is still paying their salary. And then hopefully they like us, we like them, and we get them here to stay in Pennsylvania. There's many veterans that are using their GI Bill at many of our wonderful institutions. We have great college campuses here in Pennsylvania. How do we keep them here? Why let those young kids leave? We are the 4th largest demographic of veterans. There's about 700,000 veterans in Pennsylvania. We are the 3rd oldest population of veterans, and we're getting older. They say in the next 3 years, we're going to be the 4th largest down to being the 8th largest. Many folks, we don't have a big military installation. A lot of folks stay near Fort Hood, Fort Jackson. I know those names changed. I apologize. I'm old school. General McHugh can probably give me the new names. But we want to make sure that we reach out. So I want to encourage all of you to share the word. And I'm giving you tons of information since they're giving me a microphone. And I absolutely love taking advantage of this. But we actually have a program called PA Vet Connect. So we have regional coordinators that are in 5 different regions. We broke the states down. And they work with the county directors, your nonprofits, the employers, to try to really make sure we're taking care of veterans where they're needed. We had a great event yesterday in Lehigh Valley with their Chamber of Commerce talking about hiring veterans, retraining veterans, helping veterans become entrepreneurs. I mean, veterans bring so many skills back to the Commonwealth. We want to employ them here. We want to keep them in Pennsylvania. And it's not just something my office can do. I really rely on all of you. So the more we can arm you with information and data to let you know how to take care of veterans is critically important. And since, okay. So anyways, I'm gonna stop it. Thank you. Now you all know PA Vet Connect, and thank you again.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from General Weigel twice and General McHugh. We should get them both to speak every year. Both of their stories are very inspiring and amazing. They're just amazing individuals, and I'm proud to be able to share the stage with them. I did want to mention, too, that the governor has proclaimed Women Veterans Day. It was actually proclaimed on June 12th, as you've heard, so I wanted to share and show it's hard to see from where you are, but I'm happy to... So if you would like one, or if you work for a veterans organization that would like one, please let me know, and I'll make sure to get you all one. They're beautiful, beautiful proclamations, and we're happy to be proclaiming June 12th as Women Veterans Day. And now it's my honor to introduce the 48th governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro.
Thank you, Mariah, and good afternoon to everyone who is here. Please excuse my back. I'm honored to be with all of you and honored to welcome all of you here to our Capitol and to our state museum. I want to thank Mariah and the wonderful women who make up the Women's Commission for hosting this important celebration again. At the top, I need to say on behalf of my wife, Lori, our First Lady, she sends her very, very best. She wanted me to apologize to all of you. She was with me here last year, but this is that one time during the year where the kids are home from school with nothing to do. And so she is in full mom mode for these next couple days. And so she wanted me to express to all of you just how sorry she is that she couldn't be here today. Of course, I want to recognize the wonderful leaders here from the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs, our Deputy Adjutant General for Veteran Affairs, Maureen Weigel, who joins us, and our Deputy Adjutant General of the Army, Laura McHugh. We're thankful for their leadership every single day. And I believe we're also joined by Representative Flood from the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, a member of our Women's Commission. I also want to give a special thanks to Annette Nance, who's the Executive Director of our African American Affairs Commission and served as a member of the U.S. Marine Corps. We thank her and all of you for your service. Most importantly, I'm here today to welcome the 17 veterans who we have chosen to honor today. And so on behalf of the Shapiro Davis administration, which is led by so many extraordinary women, I want to say thank you for your extraordinary service to our Commonwealth and to our country. I think all Pennsylvanians owe a debt of gratitude to the veterans who served our Commonwealth and who fought for our fundamental freedoms. This is particularly true of our women veterans who have faced their own unique challenges in order to serve. Too oftentimes, the stories of our women veterans, they go untold in the storybooks and in the history books. And I believe that is a disservice to them and the values they fought for and defended. And it is a disservice to the rest of us in Pennsylvania for not knowing their stories of courage. That is why, in recognition of the women who served, I signed a proclamation, as Mariah referenced earlier, in honor of Women's Veterans Day right here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And today, I'm proud to stand with my Advisory Commission on Women to honor those 17 women who nobly served our Commonwealth and our nation in the armed forces. We're here to recognize your leadership, your accomplishments, and your dedication to service. And we are here to convey a profound sense of gratitude and respect for all you have done for our Commonwealth. You know, here in Pennsylvania, we're home to about 71,000 women veterans who took on the hard and dangerous work of fighting for our freedoms, some domestically, some overseas. As the accomplishments of today's honorees show, our women veterans often continue to serve our communities long after their military service has come to an end. Take Misty Callahan from Fayette County. She was a member of the Pennsylvania National Guard, where she worked as an intelligence analyst. After 8 years of service, Misty went on to use her experience to continue serving her community with the Pennsylvania State Police and the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Or Linda Ann Lehman from Dauphin County, who spent 14 years with the military police, awarded the Soldiers Medal, the highest award for heroism in non-combat situations. She now serves as a coordinator for a local nonprofit dedicated to helping veterans cope with post-traumatic stress disorder through music and art. Even after returning home herself, she continues to give back like so many others. I think that's emblematic of this distinguished group, those who continue to serve others throughout their entire lives. Let me tell you about Paula Crawford Gamble, who is a member of the Navy's Nurse Corps and did a tour in the Persian Gulf War. She served our nation for 24 years and became the first Navy reservist to earn the Air Crew Wings. And Cynthia Thornton Landis from my home county of Montgomery County. She was the first Black woman to be promoted to the rank of colonel in the history of the Delaware National Guard, which I will go on record today as saying is the second best National Guard in the nation. Their stories and the stories of each of you being recognized here today exemplify what it means to be a true public servant. You stood up, you got in the game, and you helped make life better for your communities. You defended our fundamental freedoms and protected our way of life. And so, on behalf of our First Lady, our entire family, and a very, very grateful Commonwealth, 13 million strong, I want to say congratulations to each of our 17 honorees and to all of you who joined them today, those of you who have stood next to them, beside them, behind them, and who have loved them every step of the way. Thank you for your service, and thank you all for the sacrifices you have made so they could serve our nation. This Commonwealth is fortunate to have leaders and public servants like all of you living here and working in our communities. I am deeply committed to remaining here for our veterans as your governor. Under the great leadership of General Schindler and his deputies, the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs will continue to expand services for our veterans and make sure we care for each and every veteran as they have served us. The budget that I have proposed makes significant investments to improve our outreach to our veterans. Resources to establish new walk-in outreach centers to make it easier for veterans and their families to access benefits and assistance. Funding to create a new and easy-to-use web portal for the Military Occupational Crosswalk, which serves as a central hub where new veterans returning to civilian life can find information on hundreds of career opportunities. Continuing to invest in veteran housing, where I will literally be tomorrow in southeastern Pennsylvania. Just a small number of the many investments we continue to make in our veterans each and every day. And so once again, I want to thank you for your service. Thank you for all you do for our fellow Pennsylvanians. And may God bless our troops and the women and men of the Pennsylvania National Guard. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Governor, for those remarks and for being such an advocate for women here in Pennsylvania. It's my pleasure to introduce what I consider to be the most important part of the program. We're going to recognize the honorees behind us. Honorees, when your name is called, we ask that you walk over, receive your award, pause for a photo, and return to your seat. And for you in the audience, please be sure to read their bios in the program. Get to know even more about these amazing women we have here today who are going to be recognized. I also want to mention that my vice chair of the Governor's Advisory Commission on Women, Danielle Parson, will be joining me halfway through to recognize half of the honorees today as well. So we'll start with Celeste. Celeste Brooklocker, United States Navy from Lycoming County. Congratulations. We have Misty Callahan, United States Army, and she's from Fayette County. Congratulations, Misty. Next is Paula Crawford Gamble, United States Navy, from Berks County. Perfect. We have it too. You'll have your time, buddy. Next, we have Cheryl Foreman Grasso, United States Army from Delaware County. Yeah. Congratulations. We have Tina Hopper, United States Marine Corps from Erie County. Congratulations. Linda Ann Lehman, United States Army, Dauphin County. Congratulations. Next is Jessica Purdy, United States Army of Lancaster County. Congratulations, Jessica. Next, we have Nicole Riegelman, Pennsylvania Air National Guard of Cumberland County. Congratulations. And Maria Rodriguez, United States Army of Lancaster County.
Congratulations. Jill Smallwood, United States Army, Allegheny County. Sandra Solowski, United States Army, Allegheny County. Accepting on Sandra's behalf, BJ Lever from the Commission. Dory Stabile, United States Army, Westmoreland County. Kendra Marie Struthers, United States Army, Allegheny County. Congratulations. Cynthia A. Thornton Landis, Esquire, Delaware Air National Guard, Montgomery County. Denise Van Sickle, United States Coast Guard, Carbon County. Now you get your turn. Congratulations. Jessica Hagan, United States Navy, Philadelphia County. I'm sorry, United States Navy, Philadelphia County, Virginia, York, United States Navy, Susquehanna, what is it, Governor?
Susquehanna.
County. I just learned it in the back, too, and I tried. Can we please give all of our honorees another round of applause? on behalf of the commission.
Did you bring her up? Mariah's doing that one.
Danielle, Ginger is this one.
Gotcha. Let's go. This is Ginger.
Yes.
I apologize. There was no comma.
Sorry.
There we go. Now let's give everyone a round of applause. And on behalf of the commission, we thank you all for your service. Congratulations.
Thank you all so much. You may be seated. Well, thank you all again so much for joining us today and for being part of this wonderful program and honoring these amazing women. I want to thank our speakers again, Governor Shapiro, Brigadier General McHugh, Brigadier General Weigel, thank you so much for helping with the program today and making it possible. It's a true honor to know all three of you. And I want to say thank you to Marilyn and Angela from the Pennsylvania Department of Military Veterans Affairs. They helped put this lovely program together. And I appreciate their dedication to veterans, military families, and to our Commission on Women. Thank you to them. Thank you to my fellow commissioners who joined us today, my colleagues who joined us today. I heard the governor shouted out, Annette, I will do it again. She is a United States Marine Corps veteran, and she is proud of that. Congratulations to Annette as well. This has been an inspiring ceremony, and I'm grateful for the commission, for the governor, for the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. We all had the pleasure of recognizing all of you, honorees. Thank you so much for your bravery, your dedication, and everything you do for the Commonwealth. Congratulations again, and thank you all for joining us today. That concludes our program.